everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. And whether you realize it or not, the last thing we were talking about, green is the new red, is definitely related to food. We were talking about animal rights and how activists who are trying to protect animals in different industries are affected in a negative way. And as long as we feel like we have the power and the right to abuse animals and exploit animals any way we want, it's going to affect our food. And I think animals are exploited in the greatest numbers for our food. And then that spills over into animals that are used in experiments for drugs and understanding how the brain works and all kinds of physical studies on how our bodily systems work. There's all kinds of experiments out there. Some of them are really outrageous, but they get approved and they get funding and people get the right to torture animals. We need to do more about that. And I believe that when we realize we don't need animals for food, when we realize we don't need to consume animals from food, when we can get all the nutrition we need, possibly even better nutrition, from whole, minimally processed plant foods, then it starts to release somehow what we have inside of us, the lies that we've been fed, the belief systems that we've been given that enable us to abuse other animals and abuse ourselves and other people. When we're eating plant foods, I think some of that gets let go. I want to believe that. And that leads us, that opens our minds to wanting to be more compassionate and protect the earth and protect other animals and protect ourselves and our families and the people around us. I really believe in the power of plants in so many ways. Now, here's something interesting. I'm going to have a Kickstarter that's going to be launching hopefully in a day or two, and I hope that you visit my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, in the next few days and check it out. I have been invited to speak on a panel about climate change. Now, this isn't just any panel. This will be at a livestock company during the weekend of a bull sale. I will literally be the lone vegan, surrounded by about 200 cattle producers. And it's going to be a very interesting event, and I'm doing a lot of research and work to prepare myself to speak to this group. Most of the time I preach to the choir, or I preach to people that want to be part of the choir, meaning that I talk to a lot of people who are either vegan or vegetarian or are very plant-friendly. And this is going to be a very different experience, and I want it to go well. Now, what's really interesting is, in addition to speaking about climate change and animal agriculture's contribution to climate change, that's really the official subject that we're all going to speak on, I've also been asked to sing the national anthem at this event. And I'm hoping that by doing that, because I've been told this group is a very patriotic group and the national anthem is a very important song to them, that through music we can all have a connection and an understanding at a profound level. I'm really looking forward to this. So again, in a couple of days, check out responsibleeatingandliving.com. I'm not exactly sure when our project is going to launch, but we need you. We need your help and support in order to make this a very worthwhile project. And then after that, I'm going to take my talk on climate change around, because few people are talking about climate change to begin with, right? And certainly here on Progressive Radio Network about what we do to destroy the environment and how our climate is warming up. And we're going to be seeing more and more of the impact of that on us over time. We're seeing it now with all kinds of crazy weather changes. But climate change needs to be out there more talking about it more, because if we really acknowledge not only are humans causing this dramatic change in our environment, but we also can realize that we all as individuals can do something to slow it down. Now, what needs to happen, and it's going to happen if we have the time for it to happen, is we will slowly but surely move away from unsustainable energy, fossil fuels that are in an unlimited, excuse me, that are not in an unlimited supply, that are limited, but they're also very polluting in so many ways. And we need to move towards these cleaner energy sources. There's a lot of technology out there. It's a lot of really fun stuff and encouraging stuff, and people have all kinds of creative ideas. But in order to change that technology to a point where we're not putting out so much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, we're not adding all these greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, it takes a lot of money and a lot of time. And just think, if the ideal car was created today, how many people would be able to afford to buy it so that we would stop putting carbon dioxide into the air? It's going to take a long time and a lot of money. And carbon dioxide, once it's in the air, it stays there and wreaks havoc, acts as a greenhouse gas for about 100 years. It's there for a long time. So what we need to do is a number of things, two big things in particular. This is what I believe anyway. We need to have a massive campaign where everybody is planting trees. We need to repopulate all of the forests everywhere. Well, not since the beginning, because we've cleared so much forest in order to grow food for people and have homes and businesses and all kinds of things. But we can repopulate a lot of rainforest area, a lot of area that is now being used for what? That's now being used to grow food, to feed animals, to feed people, and for cattle grazing. And the interesting thing, I mean, it all works out mathematically. We don't need as much land to grow plant foods to feed people as we do to grow plants to feed animals to feed people. It's very inefficient. So that's where you come in, eating more plant foods, eating less animal foods, or eliminating them entirely. This frees up all this land for us to plant more trees. The trees suck the carbon dioxide out of the air. They're a carbon sink. And we're all eating healthier, and our health costs go down. It's just a beautiful scenario, and it's very simple. Maybe it's pie in the sky, vegan pie in the sky, of course, but I think simplest is the best. This is a simple solution, but it takes all of us as individuals to participate. This doesn't take governments changing laws. It doesn't take major global policy changes. It does take a major global movement. You may be familiar with Wangari Maathai. She won a Nobel Prize for her work in Kenya, planting trees. And it's interesting because we were talking with Will Potter earlier about ecoterrorism and people doing things to support what they believe in, protecting animals or protecting the environment. Well, in Wangari Maathai, decades ago, proposed planting trees in her country in order to improve the land around her and improve a lot of the environment for growing food and for a lot of different things. And she was actually in prison for a while for her activism. But ultimately, they ended up planting thousands. I think it was over 30,000 trees. And she ultimately was awarded a Nobel Prize. Well, we all need to be doing this. And what does it take? So talking to all of our communities, and if you can, reaching out internationally. You know, a lot of times when people in the United States talk about what can be done in the developing world, because part of the problem with global warming, with climate change, is the developing nations are starting to pick up our habits. They're using more cars. They've got factories that are putting out more carbon dioxide. They're getting a taste for eating more meat. And this is adding to the already ridiculous amount of greenhouse gases that we're putting out into the environment. And when the United States goes and points a finger and tells other countries, you need to be doing this and that, it's kind of a hard thing to say when we're hypocrites ourselves. So we all need to be participating. And that means you. That means me. Interesting thing. When we talk about animal agriculture, specifically about cattle, now, I'm always promoting a vegetarian, a vegan diet, not eating meat for so many different reasons, and people will respond and say, well, I eat grass-fed beef. I like humanely raised beef, and they think they're doing a good thing. Well, the science has come out and says that intensive agriculture is better for the environment than grazing cattle and getting grass-fed beef. So from an environmental perspective, and I'm not talking about a humane perspective, but from an environmental perspective, feeding animals grains and confining them in a small area is more efficient and less polluting with respect to climate change. I'm not talking about other forms of environmental degradation, because I don't think it's as good on water and air pollution. But in terms of putting out greenhouse gases, intensive agriculture is better than grazing cattle. And here's the problem. We have our government and other organizations looking at this one little fact, this fact that intensive agriculture is better on greenhouse gases than grazing cattle. And they're not looking at anything else. We need to look at the whole picture, and we're such a reductionist culture where we like to look at one thing. It's a lot easier to test. It's a lot easier to get funding for one issue. But we're an integrated society. Our own personal bodies, when we're looking at health, our bodies are integrated. Every organ talks to the other. Everything's connected. With intensive agriculture, maybe greenhouse gases are less, but it's far less humane for the animals that are being raised. And the kind of animal that is raised in intensive agriculture is designed to be more productive. That's not good for the animal. And then there are all these other issues where we're eating more animal foods and what's it doing to our health. We need to look at all of these issues and then decide whether one direction is better than another. But to me, the winner, hands down, is encouraging people to eat a majority of plant foods in their diet. It wins on all levels. Wins. It is less polluting. It creates far less greenhouse gases and practically doesn't create any when we're talking about organic agriculture. Now, conventional industrial agriculture for plant foods has a certain amount of greenhouse gas production, and that's for manufacturing the fertilizers and the herbicides and pesticides. Well, let's do away with all of that and do really clean growing of our food. It's far more sustainable. It's much healthier for us and much kinder to us, the animals, and the planet. So you'll be hearing more about climate change because I'm going to be studying it a lot in the next few weeks in order to do this talk in March. Just a couple of minutes left, and I always like to end on a cheery note. So about 3 years ago, I came up with a bunch of recipes that were vegan and gluten-free. Girl Scout cookies, Girl Scout copycat cookies. It's Girl Scout cookies season, and I remember I was a Girl Scout when I was a little girl, and I loved those cookies. Well, I can't eat them anymore because they're not vegan, and there's horrible ingredients in most of them. And for people that can't eat wheat, they're all full of gluten. I think they do have a gluten-free option this year because people have been screaming. But I think when it comes to treats, it's best if we make them ourselves, to put in the trouble to make them, because we really shouldn't be eating a lot of treats. And if we put the time in to make them, it just makes them so much more special. I invite you to go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. I've got my peanut butter sandwich cookie recipe up there. Delicious. Made with peanut butter that just has peanuts in it. And if you have any peanut allergies, you can use almond butter or tahini made with sesame seeds. It's a great recipe, and it's really fun. And I'm going to be revisiting some of the other Girl Scout cookie recipes that I've posted and testing them and improving them in the next couple of weeks. So you might check them out, too, and have a lot of fun with them. I think I've hit all the things that I wanted to mention. Just remember, are you now or have you ever been a vegetarian? Something to think about. Our freedoms. Don't lose them. Don't be like the frog in the warm water, not seeing that the water's heating up, and then it's too late. Too late with the environment, too late with climate change, too late with our freedoms. I say we do some good work and make this world a better place and eat Girl Scout copycat cookies. How about it? I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Join me next week. I'm going to be talking to Dan Latterman and Sherry Soria of the Living Light Culinary Institute. We're going to be talking about lots of wonderful raw food recipes and how good plants are for you. Have a delicious week.